Snack Bar Games Podcast. All right, and welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 219. I'm Graham, and I'm here with Jerry, Sean, and Andrew.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
I'm a koala.
Okay.
Oh, this is terrible.
Okay, so just to let you guys know, because it's weird to start cracking up about. We always get together on Skype to record these podcasts, and for some reason, when we all signed on tonight, Sean's avatar just randomly changed to this picture of a koala, and we have no idea why.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, but Sean.
Yeah, I don't even know how it happened.
Yeah, he's just a koala staring back at me. It's a pretty happy koala.
He is psyched to talk about video games.
He is.
I think you should take that picture of the koala, and that should just be the picture that you see when you click on it. So everyone knows.
Okay. Might have to get that. Alright. So let's talk about games or something.
I like games.
I like games too.
No,
not as much as Wallace, but I do like video games.
Oh, God. Jerry, how you been doing? It's been a couple weeks.
Doing fine.
Yeah? Been playing anything interesting?
I want to say so, but actually I can't remember what I was playing right now.
Yeah, January.
January is a...
Two-win extraction.
Gotcha. But yeah, I've been spending January finishing up games I intentionally set aside as a little treat for me. I don't know if you guys ever do that, but when I play a game, I realize, like, I don't want this game to end. I like it so much, so I don't finish. I'm at the last level. I know I'm at the last level, so I'm holding it off. So I did that with Rayman Origins and with Ghost Recon Shadow Wars and a couple others, but
Soccer Wars, one of those games.
Soccer Wars was one of those games last year.
All right, good.
I finished that one up, I believe, last January.
That is a good thing to have, though.
I know, especially games like that where they're really good, but you know if they get a sequel, they're not going to get a sequel where you are.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is the last bit of this that I'm going to get. So it's just kind of like, I'm not going to get another Soccer Wars games. I'm pretty sure the entirety of the copies were sold to Snack War Games staff.
Pretty much.
Like all 7 copies.
That'll explain why I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, sorry. I picked the last one.
Yeah, I actually own 3 copies, so I don't know why, but...
That and the fact that there's no games in Delaware. No one plays them here.
Wait, do you actually own 3 copies?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I was going to say, I do know some people that own 2 copies because they got the Wii version and then went back and the PS2 version with the Japanese dialogue and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I could foresee for some reason I have 3 is not the craziest thing in the world. I actually bought a second PS2 today for some reason.
Why not?
To make up for not owning a PS1 probably.
Well, no, it's... GameStop occasionally takes new things and converts them to used, and they did that with PS2s now, so the new PS2s became $40 used PS2s, despite the fact that they're sealed and still in the box.
Huh.
I was like,
really?
Yeah, I don't know when my first one's going to give out, so I picked up a spare.
I might see if mine has any in case my backwards compatible PS3 ever gives out, because I don't think that they will give me a new one.
Hold the controller with koala paws?
Yes, it's the Xbox controller I have trouble with.
Okay. Yeah.
You know how big that is. That and the Dreamcast one.
This just in, koalas are Sony fanboys.
They are.
Huh.
So biased, koalas.
Uncharted rules!
I haven't been doing exactly what you were doing, Graham, but I've been pretty much just using January to catch up on 2011 games I haven't played. But then, of course, that all stopped when I started playing Xenoblade, and I've just been playing that ever since. So
how is Xenoblade?
Xenoblade is amazing. Okay. It was worth importing, and if I had the extra money in April, I would buy it again just to support it, but hopefully other people who haven't imported it, or maybe people who have, you know, decide to get it, because it's pretty awesome.
Okay. Like that.
But yeah, that's pretty much taking up all of my time.
For people who've played a lot of JRPGs, mm-hmm. and that's basically people who play any amount of JRPGs, what analog does Xenoblade have? Like, of the games that we've kind of seen in the States before, what is it most like?
Let's see. Final Fantasy XII, I think. Okay. I think that's the one that most comes to mind, just in terms of the battle system.
Okay.
It's you know, once you initiate a battle, your characters will attack automatically, but then you also have commands you can input, and it from there it kind of branches off into its own thing, but just the basics of the way you explore areas, and it's kind of more open than a lot of JRPGs are, and it just reminds me most of FF12, which is one of my favorites in that series. So,
and how there aren't any actual battle transitions, like you just go straight in and out of battle right where you stand.
Yeah, exactly.
So in that way, that was the first game that really did that, was maybe Chrono Trigger.
Oh yeah, Chrono Trigger did that.
Of course, so, well. Yeah.
But yeah, I've always liked that, just because the transitions are, I don't know, it just seems like a wasted time to sit there, especially with load screens and, I don't know, just get into battles.
In this day and age, I appreciate what Xenoblade does in that regard. I don't have time. This game is already long enough. I don't have time to wait through loading screens for this battle to load. I just want to fight right here, right now. And the monsters are like, okay, let's do it. They understand, so.
Yeah,
that's how it goes down. But it's also kind of similar to, well, maybe not in terms of the story stuff, but in terms of the quests, there are a lot of side quests, and they're kind of MMO-ish, and the fact that a lot of them are defeat this certain, you know, this many monsters in this area, or get these things for me, and some there are more specific quests that are kind of have, you know, unique little storylines and things like that, but it's a lot of it is kind of just, you know, hey, I did this quest before, it's just a different set of monsters, which, I mean, it's not bad. It's a nice way to continue, you know, flesh out this world and possibly discover new enemies you might have completely walked by if you didn't do that quest. But in a way, if you're not a fan of stuff like that, you might just end up skipping a lot of the side quests. But
so it is nice that the side quests, you actually get the rewards, most of them, you get the rewards right then and there, as opposed to actually having to go back to the quest giver.
Yeah, I love that. When you finish a quest, like one where you're killing a certain number of monsters, the quest will just be like, yeah, you finished this quest. Here's the experience. You don't have to go talk to that guy again. It's I love that. There, yeah. The only quests where you have to go back and talk to someone are the ones where the NPCs are more. It's more like story driven quests.
Yeah,
you have to go maybe rescue someone and then go back to the town and talk to the person, say, hey, I saved your sister, or I got this special item for you, or something like that. But usually it's
to deliver something to someone, I can understand that.
Yeah, but even then,
I've always wanted just a straight up JRPG with a cell phone. You know, just like, hey, I heard you know, just have like Craigslist for JRPGs. Like, hey, I heard you want this thing, so I'm gonna send you this message real quick. I don't need to walk back to this town.
Yeah,
just okay. You know, yeah, I can hey, understand. Cool. Except, you know, like, why do I have to go back to this like guild board? No, none of that.
Just pull out the cell phone.
Yeah,
you're all good.
Yeah.
I understand that. Like I said, it's kind of a lot of things that, in a way, Xenoblade is really, really condenses a lot of that stuff, and it makes the experience more streamlined, which is fantastic. But at the same time, it makes up for it by giving you four times the amount of quests you would get in any other JRPG. So it's like, oh yeah, you could finish these quests pretty quickly, but here are 100 of them at the same time. Go. So it makes up for the time in other ways, but the quests are generally enjoyable if you really get into the battle system, which I have been. So, and I think that's cool. Just reached the halfway point. So, well, I got a lot more Xenoblade to go apparently.
Yeah, well, I am definitely looking forward to playing that one when it reaches the U.S. later this year. Yeah. Hey, Sean, why don't we go ahead and do some news?
Sure. Well, the biggest news this week is, obviously, Resident Evil 6. They finally dated it and gave a bunch of information on it. It will be part of this year's huge November, on November 20th. And it takes place about 10 years after, I assume, the first Resident Evil with the Raccoon City incident, has Leon Kennedy and Chris Redfield, and the president is a zombie.
Yes.
President Evil.
This is the kind of game announcement I love, because they're like, here's a trailer with gameplay, you know, here's a release date, pre-order it now.
Yeah. They have their plan together. It's not like, let's do a leak and then not show you any gameplay. And I mean, then you'll wait a year, and then we'll tell you what year it'll come out. And then we'll release two screenshots. And then the next year we'll have a new trailer that doesn't look anything like the previous screenshots, and then we'll say it comes out the year after that.
Mm.
Yeah, I hate that stuff. But
Sam, I know you're looking forward to Versus 13. I know.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. No, but what always makes me wonder is why games like Resident Evil would not plan to release in October?
Yeah.
It's a horror game. I mean, I know it's less of a horror game than it used to be, but still, it's kind of like, November seems like a weird time to put that out.
But now it's coming out 2 days before Thanksgiving, so, because we all know Thanksgiving is the scariest holiday.
See, but not only that, but it's going to come out after the election? If you're going to have a game where the president's a zombie, go ahead and, like, you know, take advantage of both Halloween fervor and election fervor, and go ahead and put your zombie president out in October.
I would vote for a zombie president. I'm just going to put that out there.
I just want to know if you'll be able to shoot and move at the same time, finally.
Actually, you will. There are some more news tidbits that came out today, and they confirmed that you can.
Ooh. Oh, good. Because I suck at shooting and then moving.
Only if you're doing them at the same time, it's perfectly okay.
Among that, there's moving and shooting. There's 1 to 2 local split screen, and the curious one for me is 2 to 6 player co-op.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know how that would work.
Interesting.
But it sounds interesting.
I get the feeling that they're going to be implementing a lot of the things they're putting in Operation Raccoon City.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, that seems like the kind of thing they may have done as kind of a test case. Like, all right, we have this spinoff game. Let's see how this goes, and then maybe bring it back into the fold.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they're taking the best components from that and applying it to the main series. And I like that there's going to be at least the game is going to be split up in like 3 different stories. I'm sure at some point they'll all come together, but the first one is with Leon and some woman, and the second one is Chris and some other person, and then the third one is some bald guy that might be Hunk from, I think, Resident Evil 3 is when he first came, where he first was debuted in the series, but nobody knows for sure who that is. But yeah, it seems like one of them is going to be more classic Resident Evil, the other is going to be kind of action heavy, and the third is who knows.
Sure. Sounds like the perfect way to take a series forward without getting rid of old game styles.
Yeah.
Worked really well for Sonic Heroes.
Of course.
Yep.
That's actually what their goal is. They want to make the Sonic Heroes of the Resident Evil series.
Yeah.
That was in the news today, right? I think so.
Yep.
Wait. I don't remember. Was Sonic Heroes any good?
No.
Not particularly. No.
Oh, okay.
But that's just what this reminds me of, is kind of, oh, we have 3 different teams of people. Well, see, that's what you wanted. You wanted these teams. No. Not really.
Well, having not played Resident Evil ever, and having not played Sonic since the Genesis, I was not sure.
Okay.
Well, I trust Capcom with Resident Evil more than I trust Sonic Team with any Sonic game these days. So, I think I'm not as worried, but I get what you're saying.
I'm not sure I trust Capcom.
You don't trust Capcom?
They're shifty.
Hmm.
Look at him.
Like a man.
Look at him over there. It looks suspicious.
I think he's sad about Mega Man.
I'm not actually that big a fan of Mega Man either. They have been known in the past to make poor decisions.
Like not giving us any more Phoenix Wright games.
Sure, that one actually might have been a good decision for the company.
What?
But, well,
not for the fans. Well,
I love Phoenix Wright games, but they didn't sell very well, so I can understand them not bringing them over. Whereas, like, Mega Man? Does Mega Man have a problem selling? Like, I don't...
It sells more than it does in Japan.
Yep. Great.
Okay, so speaking of Capcom, Capcom Vancouver is...
Are they also shifty?
They are also
shifty. They're pretty shifty, yeah.
They say they're working on a new action-adventure game, but they won't tell us what
IP
it will be.
Didn't they say it was a new IP?
They say it's a new IP that is unannounced, and they won't announce it.
So probably not Dead Rising 3.
That's what unannounced means, yes.
Yep.
Pretty much. They also say that they want open world people. So action-adventure open world. And possibly zombies, because Capcom likes them, and so does Capcom Vancouver.
Everyone seems to like zombies these days.
I don't like zombies.
On the other hand,
yeah.
The other games that this company made are the baseball games for Take-Two, like the Bigs. So maybe it's a zombie baseball game.
I would play that. I would. I don't play baseball games, but I would play that one.
Now, I would only play it if it's like a zombie version of Power Pros.
They did the Bigs, not the Power Pros.
I know, but like, if you can make zombie Power Pros, then I'm with you.
Now I just
but it'll be a, it'll want, be an open world zombie Power Pros.
I just want
to.
That's crazy.
I want that.
They should make 7 copies of it and send it to Snack Bar.
Yeah,
we will review it. Well,
game of the year, right there.
Yeah,
at least Graham's game of the year.
Hey, I tally up those votes. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you saw Shadow Wars on there, didn't you?
Mwahaha. No, it actually legitimately won our 3DS Game of the Year. That was a very close vote.
Yeah, I think I put it at number 1 or 2 also.
Yeah.
So but, you can all blame me.
I just kind of want a new Mutant League game, but like Mutant League baseball, but instead of mutants, it's zombies.
There is a rumor that the secret zombie team in NFL Blitz is a hint that EA may be reviving the Mutant League football license.
Please let it be true.
I doubt this highly.
Probably, yeah.
Because everyone assumed that putting the street team in NBA Jam meant that there was an NBA street game, but we haven't really heard anything about that. I don't know.
I think the new Mutant League football game will come out right when the new Road Rash comes out, so. Yep.
Sure.
And I want Base Wars 2. I'm looking at Konami for this one.
I might be
the only person still alive who played Base Wars.
That's probably not true. There would be a lot of freak accidents.
No, he's the only koala still alive who's played it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
Most koalas don't live as long as me.
Yeah.
Man, that is one happy koala.
I know, right? That koala loves Base Wars, man.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Look at him.
But
yeah.
Do you guys not remember Base Wars?
Not really.
It was baseball, but it was robots. To take a base, you had to fight the opponent and beat them in one-on-one combat.
I have played exactly 2 baseball, maybe more, but exactly 2 baseball games in my life that I can actually remember, and that was not them.
I actually did play a little bit of Base Wars. It was not really my favorite thing. I did play a lot of, for some reason, Baseball Simulator 3000.
1000?
Was it 1000?
It is 1000 for the Super Nintendo.
Wasn't there a 3000?
No.
No? Okay. Well,
1,000 was for the NES. 2,000 was for the Super Nintendo.
It's 2,000.
Then I made another one then.
It's 2,000. It was Super Nintendo. I just remember, yeah. So like that one was like, awesome. Set in the future with robots, and that was pretty cool.
Well, they had superpowers, but I don't think they were robots.
They certainly seemed like robots to me.
They did.
Maybe I was.
Especially when they jumped 100 feet in the air.
Okay.
Anyway.
Maybe I played 3,000.
If you did, I want to.
It's secret.
They made one copy?
They made 7 copies. I have all of them.
Okay.
All right, more news.
That'll be our
more news. A company who has never done anything video game related is making an Ong Bak video game.
That turns out well all the time.
All the time.
Yep.
So it's a new developer, and they're making a movie license game.
Yes.
Talk
this
about
be great. Yep.
This is I'm excited. Can I revise
they usually make art, and that's it.
So it'll look nice, right?
It'll be very artistic while it's wreck.
Now let's. While I think this is probably going to turn out to be a train wreck, let's remember one thing. There have been JRPGs developed by guys who before only did music that turned out pretty good.
True.
So, and there have been Xbox Live indie games turned out by guys who previously just did music that turned out really well.
But what about for art?
I mean... It could be a really good looking game. This is probably gonna be a train wreck. I'm just trying to look on the bright side, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it will be a lot more entertaining for this game to release than for any normal licensed game to release. Probably.
It has the potential. I think that film series has the potential to be kind of cool as a game. I've only seen the first one. It was okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's a thing.
That is a thing.
Any other news going on, Sean?
No, but since we're talking about movie licensed games, I'm going to interject something real quick.
Sure.
I saw The Adventures of Tintin yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great movie.
Yeah,
it was.
Did anyone else who watched it think immediately, I wish Naughty Dog had done the video game for this?
I kind of got a Uncharted vibe or even an Indiana Jones vibe, mostly because of Spielberg. But yeah, that would be cool because the actual game that was made for it doesn't look very good.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it's not doesn't look bad. It looks like it could be okay if it were a downloadable game, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Not what I would have expected from a game.
Sean has been mentioning this for a few days now. And I think he just wanted us to talk about it. I think it's fair to say that about half the games in the market would have been a lot better had Naughty Dog made them.
True.
Yeah.
But
just like I think every game should have been made by Intelligent Systems. But
everyone.
All of them. Yeah.
Even the bad ones. Even the like the Imagine.
What about Ong Bak?
They'd make a pretty good Ong Bak game.
Would it be
turn based?
Like, yeah, I was going to say, would it be turn-based?
Yes! I want this game now.
Oh, God.
No, but, you know, even the slightly less regarded Intelligent Systems games are pretty good. Like, you know, they've made some not-as-stellar WarioWare games. They made probably the weakest Mario Kart in the series. They made Super Circuit.
Yeah. I always forget about that one.
But, I mean, all things considered, that's still not that bad a game, you know? Like,
yeah, it's okay.
Like, it doesn't age as well, but all things considered, like, how good was a GBA Mario Kart going to turn out?
It turned out as well as a GBA Mario Kart could, I think.
Yeah. I just wish we could see some more Intelligent Systems projects every year. We're finally getting the Rhythm Heaven games. We missed the GBA... GBA one. We never got Card Hero for the Game Boy Color or the DS. And then we never got Napoleon for the Game Boy Advance. Real-time strategy game. Yeah.
Napoleon game?
Do you not remember this? At the GBA's launch, you know, it was a Japanese launch game, and it was also released in France because it's Napoleon, but it was never actually released in English. But it was a launch game from Intelligent Systems, where it was a real-time strategy game where you were Napoleon on a horse, and it followed Napoleon's campaign, but sometimes Napoleon would end up fighting, like, zombies and... and, like, magical creatures. But,
so, like, Operation Darkness for Napoleon instead of the Nazis.
Kind of.
I'd buy that.
I'd still buy that if someone were to translate that thing. But, like, even their weird bad stuff is pretty good. Naughty Dog... What would we say is Naughty Dog's worst game?
Uncharted 1?
But I haven't played any of the Jack Dexter games, so.
I think Jack 2 is kind of polarizing. I don't know if it's bad, but
Jack X is that?
Yeah. Also, when you say that really fast, it kind of sounds like you're saying Jackass.
Right.
What about Keith the Thief?
What?
Someone's on Wikipedia right now.
I don't know what Wikipedia is.
I'm a koala.
koala that plays video games but does not understand the internet.
It was a Apple II game written in 1989 by Naughty Dog.
We all remember that classic.
Right. Oh yes.
That's really their best game.
I'm going to play the XBLA version sometime.
Yep.
Right after I finish Marathon. Yay, obscure jokes.
I'd say once they went PlayStation only, they haven't had a bad game, probably.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, Jack X was kind of but it wasn't bad either. I guess you could say that was their worst game.
Could it have been, was it worse than Crash Team Racing?
Crash Team Racing was awesome, though. I know Graham doesn't like it.
I would venture to say that Crash Team Racing was better than Jack X.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I don't hate Crash Team Racing. In fact, I like the genre. I'm not sure it stacks up against the best Mario Karts, like a lot of people say. I'd put it right there with Diddy Kong Racing in the it's pretty good for a change of pace category.
Yes.
But and it's just not.
It's certainly the best Crash Racing game.
Yeah. but Sierra did release a couple, didn't they?
Yeah, they did Nitro Kart, and then I think they did a sequel to that one, but I don't know what it was called. Nitro Kart 2, maybe?
Sure.
Nitro Kart Extreme.
Whatever, Crash Bandicoot. I don't...
Yeah.
No one cares. I should warn you guys, looking at Wikipedia, Naughty Dog has a pattern with their games.
Uncarted.
They make, exactly. They make three games in a series, then make a cart game.
So you're saying that The Last of Us is actually just going to be the Uncharted kart racing game, and they're just kind of playing us right now. They're messing with our heads.
Well, we haven't seen enough footage of that.
They'll make Uncharted, and then they'll make Last of Us three times, and then make a cart game out of that.
No.
That's the next 5 years.
They'll make Last of Us three. I love that. They'll just release the same game three times. They'll just add a number at the end. Yeah, they'll never know.
And the fourth one is the exact same game, but just they put them in a vehicle for the whole game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's still like the running animation. It's just there's just a cart covering their legs.
Yeah, it's all like right. Did you guys ever play 3D Dot Game Heroes?
Yeah,
yeah.
So no. You know, you could customize your main character, but one of the default ones you could change it to was just a tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember
You
that.
Just wore a tank with a sword.
Yeah.
So it'd be like that. You'd be a vehicle doing the same stuff. You'd just be like a Humvee or something.
This is a weird reference here, but in the first Matrix game that came out, Enter the Matrix, that masterpiece that we all remember, look fondly on. There was a hacking mini game, and you can use that to unlock a fighting game, and you can play as a police car and just beat the crap out of Morpheus and whatnot.
Yep. See, I don't hate that game as much as most people hate that game.
I liked that when it came out. It was okay.
Yeah, like, it was okay. People bring it up, and it's like this example of horrible licensed games, but I think those are just people who don't normally play licensed games.
There are some pretty bad ones.
That's adequate. There are some that is very an adequate bad ones. Game.
I played one myself last year. It was called Thor. It was terrible.
Wasn't Captain America pretty bad too?
That was actually not that bad. It was not nearly as bad as Thor. It was actually competent. It was that was next level, and they're pretty good guys. They know what they're doing.
It's, you know, rip off an established game is the best way to make a licensed game. If
you don't have much time and you actually know what you're doing in terms of game development, then you can probably pull that off. Okay.
I mean, I think too many games try to be a third-person action-adventure. Not every movie game needs to be a third-person action-adventure.
Like Ratatouille?
Oh, gosh. But, you know, there's one game that actually the execution wasn't that great, but I like bringing it up as an example of, like, here's an interesting way you can kind of pull this off. The DS version of the WALL-E game was not a third person action adventure, was not a platformer. What it was a top down, basically like a puzzle game. You went around hitting switches. You push cubes and you hit switches and stuff like that. It was basically like, I guess it's kind of like a Zelda dungeon, except for you can't hit things. It was more about dodging obstacles and getting through, like, courses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at least it wasn't the same thing that we played over and over again. Like, at least, like, they understood that this is a thing you can do on the system.
Yeah. I appreciate when they get a different team to make the handheld versions, and that team actually does something different with it. Like, licensed game or not, I like when they actually don't just try to make a version of the console version on the console game on a handheld. They actually try to do something original with it. Even if the execution is flawed, you know, at least they tried something different.
Right, because it's just not going to work the same. Though, for a couple years, I think it will. I think we're going to lose that originality on handhelds.
Yeah.
Because, if a game releases on the Wii and the 3DS, it can be the same game. If a game releases on the PS3 and the Vita, it can be the same game.
Pretty much.
So it will, because people are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know... That part is tough, but.
What I'm basically trying to say is I want the 3DS and Vita version of this Ongbok game to be an RPG. I want that to be the intelligent systems developed game, and then these other art guys can make their action game for the consoles.
Hmm.
How about that?
So you're saying 2D.
Okay. So you're saying you want intelligent systems to develop a game for the Vita? That's what you're saying.
Oh, well, no, probably not, but the 3DS, yes.
Okay.
We can let
WayForward do the Vita version. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah. WayForward can just do every licensed game, I think.
Sure. I don't actually feel bad about making them do every licensed game,
they're doing really good licensed games, and I think they realized this because when they put out original games, they don't have the name recognition to sell well.
Yeah.
But they can totally tack on their gameplay to, you know, whatever. They made a really cool Looney Tunes Duck Amok game on the DS that no one played. But, like, it was an interesting... I mean, basically you became, you know, the artist for that famous old comic. But
so, basically, Graham, you're the connoisseur of DS licensed games.
Sure.
It seems that way, because you played both WALL-E on the DS and this Looney Tunes game.
Well, you know, I was forced to play WALL-E.
Oh. Uh-oh.
That's what happens when you're here for 5 years. Because you get the best stuff.
You get the best stuff.
Oh, now you get the best stuff.
Oh.
That's how this works. Oh, nice. Yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure Sean gets the best stuff.
Of course I do.
That's fine.
Yep.
He's a koala. He doesn't really care.
Hey, I got Afterfall. That was interesting.
Yep. Well, that is the thing, is we can talk about that. We play good games and we love good games. We also play bad games and we don't love them, but it's fun to play bad games sometimes.
I can agree with this.
If only to remind you how good those good games are.
I think Jerry can especially...
Speaking of bad games, Graham, do we still have that copy of Grotesque Tactics 2?
Yeah.
I think so.
Are you saying you want to review that?
I'm probably going to hate myself for saying this, but I am curious about the game.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, look for a review of Grotesque Tactics 2 in the near future.
A hotly anticipated sequel to everyone's favorite PC game.
Yeah.
2010.
Yep. All right.
It was Jerry's name of the game of the year last year, right?
Yep.
Yep. That was I'm surprised
they didn't make our shortlist. So much support for it.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, after all, I played BioShock for the first time, so that was fun.
Yeah. So.
Are you enjoying that game as much as people enjoyed that game back in 2007?
Have you been enjoying reading my tweets about it?
Have been enjoying reading your tweets about it.
Then you're enjoying it about as much as I am then.
Okay. Wait. So you're saying BioShock is as fun as reading tweets? I'm not sure if that's a good thing. I mean, tweets can be fun to read, but not for like 2-3 hours at a time. You're just sitting
there. I'm enjoying zapping people and clubbing them with my wrench.
That is how you play BioShock.
Yes, yeah. I have had no reason to use my guns yet.
You probably won't until near the end. Honestly, you could probably play through that entire game with just a wrench and plasmids, and you'll be okay for the most part. Actually, that's kind of a lie, but I want to see how far you can get with that strategy.
We'll see. Right. I think I'm close to Dr. Steinman now.
Yeah, cool. Good progress.
All right, well, let's move on. But before we do, let's go ahead and talk about two more recent games that we've been playing. You've been probably seeing reviews on the site, or you will in the next day or so. Andrew, you played Scary Girl.
I did play Scary Girl.
Speaking of licensed games.
Yeah, that is a licensed game. I actually didn't know that until when I started writing my review. I was like, okay, this seems familiar. I know I've seen this character somewhere. So I looked it up. It's like, oh, yeah, Scary. Okay, that's where I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And
I actually played the PS Mini for Scary Girl that came out a while ago. They gave it away for free for PSN Plus owners, so I played a little bit of that. So I was surprised when they actually mentioned that they were going to release like a full game.
Is that any good? I think that's based on the Flash version that came out.
Yeah, it's a little 2D action platformer game.
Maybe that's better than the full version, because the full version isn't very good.
Well, you know, the thing is, that game looks gorgeous.
It has a really, really cool look to it. That's why I was so interested in it when I first heard about it. I was like, man, a 2D action platformer with a really distinct art style. I want to play this game, and it makes me sad that it turned out the way it did. The biggest problem with it is the controls are just they're just so sluggish. At first, it wasn't that big of a deal, because at first you were barely fighting anything, and the things you did fight took like two hits to kill. The platforming was simple. They're basically you know gearing you up for the later sections, and then about a couple hours into it, things actually ramped up in difficulty, and the levels themselves aren't difficult so much as the controls are they aren't adequate for the game they designed, which is always a terrible problem when it comes to any kind of action platformer like this, because when you attack, it'll sometimes take a second to respond. Sometimes when you attack an enemy, it won't even register that you hit it. There's a grapple move you can do, and when you grapple, the grapple points won't actually sometimes register, so you'll just fall to your death and have to start over. And little things like that, they all add up after a while, and it gets really infuriating when the game actually tries to throw some real challenging stuff at you, and it's a good game, but it's wrapped in some really, really bad mechanics that could have used some more work. And it's really funny, because there's a score at the top of the screen, because you can run past, I didn't mention this in the review, but you can pretty much just run past a lot of the enemies in the game. Because at some point I was like, I'm just sick of this combat. It's kind of boring. It's kind of sluggish. I just want to move on. Yeah, I just want. You can just jump over a lot of the enemies. Sometimes you'll get hit, but it's not that big of a deal. But then of course, fighting enemies, you'll get score. You'll get points and stuff. That's the only reason you'll get a score. And I'm like, what? Who's gonna be texting their friends or something and saying, hey man, I just got the high score in that new Scary Girl level. Come on, see if you can beat that.
And hey,
I don't think that's a thing people will do.
I hold multiple number one spots in the 4, 5, and 7 player leaderboards in Cubix HD. I wear that badge with pride. I'm so much better than those 6 other guys that tried it.
Have you checked? Maybe someone surpassed you since then. You should check.
we got past on the 4 and 6 leaderboards. But we went back and took our crown back by actually playing with the right number of people. We set those original ones. It was just 4 of us with a couple extra controllers on.
Wow.
But yeah.
But that's a game that's actually kind of, I mean, I haven't played it, but it seems like that's more about something about high scores or completing levels in a certain amount of time or in a certain way or what have you. And Scary Girl is just an action platformer that just happens to have a score there just to have something for leaderboards, I guess.
Yeah, it's like Mega Man 1 having the score meter.
Yeah, exactly. It's just there, and you see this number on the top of the screen every once in a while. It's like, oh yeah, I forget that's there. That's a thing. And I'm so sad because I was so prepared when I first started playing this. I was like, man, this is a cool game. We'll have a cool game to talk about on the podcast because there's nothing else to talk about. And it's just such a disappointment.
Yeah,
I really cannot recommend it as much as it pains me. It seems like the PS the PlayStation Mini / Flash version is better. So if you want some kind of interactive Scary Girl experience, that is the one to play. But I don't know. This just
interactive so Scary Girl experience, huh?
Yeah, the interactive Scary Girl experience.
It's the name of my new band.
What's your first song gonna be?
I don't know about Wikipedia. I'm a koala.
Okay, all right. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah. All right. So I have been playing All Zombies Must Die.
Did you kill all of the zombies?
No. As it turns out, that was actually optional.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's kind of bait and switch.
Only sounds most like false advertising.
Yeah. So it's only most zombies must die. Some can. You know.
Yeah. So I mean, it's basically a sequel to Burn Zombie Burn, which was a PSN exclusive that came out a couple years ago.
Those guys like zombies, it seems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Double Six
don't like zombies.
The Double Six studio within the Kuju family, they put out those two. They also did the Battalion Wars games.
Man. There was no zombies in those games.
No zombies. There were certainly stereotypes, but no zombies. But so, All Zombies Must Die isn't bad. What was really missing from the original Burn Zombie Burn, which is, you know, your kind of twin-stick-ish shooter. It's top-down like a twin-stick, but you're actually just, you know, you don't actually use that second stick. It's a single stick and trigger shooter.
So it's a single stick, twin stick game.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but it shares that top down kind of shooter quality.
Yeah.
And you do use the second stick to turn, but that's not shooting, if that makes any sense.
So you still turn with the right stick, but you still have to press something else to shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that part's a little weird.
So that kind of sounds like something like Running Ops, in a way.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's kind of like Renegade Ops without vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, you run around. There are these big waves of things, and there are zombies all the time. Yeah, they're all zombies.
They must die.
This is true. No, but the Burns Up and Burn was 2-player only, and this one's 4. Online or offline, and that part's nice. And then they also added like an upgrade and progression system, so you can level up and have more attack or defense, and you can craft weaponry a lot like you could in kind of Dead Rising style, but you put an element with a weapon, and so
that seems neat.
Yeah. So, like, you know, you can get a chainsaw and fire and make a fire chainsaw.
I would like one of those.
Yeah, well, like, each element adds, like, a certain ability to it. It's not really much about experimentation, but, like, you know, you take a cricket bat, which is a great weapon.
Yeah, it is.
But, like, you add fire to something, and it adds plus 25% damage. You add you know, radioactivity to something, and it adds a chance that it will poison the opponent. Like, it's not really, like, different weapons as much as it's just matching the weapon effect with the special effect.
So, are the characters at all different, or are they just kind of...
They start out... You put, like, anywhere from 3 to 5 points into a skill to upgrade it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, one of them's better at attacking, one of them's faster, one of them's, you know, good at defense, and that's kind of how it breaks apart. The story is really weak. At this point, I don't think it's that entertaining for a game to have a character who keeps saying, "Whoa, this is just like in video games."
But that's hilarious. It's even funnier when characters in movies say, "Oh man, it's just like Grand Theft Auto," or it's like Call of Duty, you know.
Yeah. Or TV shows are like, "Man, you've been watching too much TV."
Yeah. All right.
Every show.
Anyway, every one of them.
every show says that at some point. The thing about it is that it wears a little thin. It's funny that, like, "Oh, random checkpoint, you're going to make me complete an objective." Like, yeah, okay, that'd be funny once, but then that's the entire dialogue for the whole game.
So it's just, it's meta, but it's stupid meta.
Yeah, it runs it into the ground, which is a problem for, I mean, shooters like this. The problem is that it gets a little monotonous, and the upgrade system helps. And the fact that each of the little, I mean, basically you have little quests or objectives, like, you know, kill 30 people that are on, you know, kill 30 on fire zombies, or, you know, make it through this area without taking damage or something.
Seems like a lot of for what's basically a twin stick zombie shooter.
Yeah. And if you're wondering where the name comes from, there are certain set pieces where you have to defend an area and clear it completely out, and then it says all zombies must die, and it puts it really big on the screen. Just like Burn Zombie Burn had, like, a thing where you killed everyone with fire, and it said Burn Zombie Burn big on the screen. They're a little tongue-in-cheek with the whole thing. But I have trouble recommending it, but it's not bad, you know, if you want to play a zombie shooter.
You mentioned that it had online co-op. I thought it was just local only.
That was Burn Zombie Burn.
Yeah, Burn Zombie Burn was 2-player local only, and that was one of the main things they put in this one, was that they brought in 4-player co-op. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, meta humor, just as a side note, meta humor can be really funny if done well and not done to death.
Yeah, but it's the done to death thing that's kind of frustrating. Just the whole game, you know, the main character, this guy, is like, "We're totally in a video game." And then this girl, who's, I guess, his ex-girlfriend or something, just refuses to believe him. And he spends the whole time trying to prove, "Hey, look, we just completed an objective and got XP. I don't know what you're talking about."
I would have turned the game off when I heard that line. That would have been it.
Yeah, well, I had to persevere. Anyway, any other games you guys been playing you want to talk about? How about you, Koala?
No, but I've been streaming, viewing this thing called the Internet. Okay. And I found out that there is going to be $20 DLC for Mass Effect 3, Skylander style.
Skylander style?
So are you going to have...
Figure?
Yeah. The Mass Effect, they're selling 4 sets of 4 Mass Effect figurines. Each one is $20, and each will come with a code for downloadable in-game content.
Wait, are you making this up?
Or
is this
I am not. It is on BioWare's store.
Is one of them Rex?
Right now they have announced Tally, Thane, Grunt, Shepard, Miranda, Morden, Legion, and Garrus.
That's 8. I thought you said 4.
They haven't announced the other 4 yet. The 4 sets of 4.
You should look up the Shepard, though. It's
so
actually
16.
And they've only announced 8 so far.
You should look up the picture for the Shepard figure, which is kind of hilariously bad.
Well, it's because, I mean, that's not my Shepard. I want a figure of my Shepard.
I know. That would take...
That's the only Shepard. But... It's the only true Shepard.
Okay.
My Shepard.
That Shepard is really bad.
Yeah.
After doing this whole thing where they're trying to make female Shepard kind of a big deal, I'm guessing they're not actually going to make a female Shepard figure.
Nope.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's dumb.
But so this is this
a different set.
I want a set that you buy that's Shepard, Rex, Rex, and Rex that unlocks DLC that's a four-player co-op mode where you play as Shepard, Rex, Rex, and Rex.
Oh, man.
It'll just be called Shepard.
Why not just Rex, 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 and Rex?
But then there's no Shepard.
But then you can't say Shepard.
Because then they can't say yeah.
Actually, they're all Krogan's name Shepard.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Shepard. Shepard.
Shepard. Shepard.
Okay, we can't go to that again.
So is this gonna have its own like base thing or is
I
it,
want a portal of power.
I was gonna say, is this gonna be like for those who love both
N7 portal.
For those who love both Skylanders and Mass Effect, here's the thing for you, which is maybe two people, I think.
I'd buy the hell out of that.
So, I'm just confused. Do I have to buy Skylanders in order to use this, or is it going to come with its own Mass Effect portal of power?
I would assume if it goes that direction, it'd have its own, because the Skylanders portal is Activision, and EA hates Activision.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
Yeah, it does sound like it's going to be a DLC code.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be a code. They say it'll be randomized, and so it could include new characters or weapons, but they won't.
You don't
get a specific thing per character.
Because when you said Skylander style, I was literally thinking of a base with where you put the figures on, it scans them in. It's just like EA blatantly ripping off Activision or saying go support our
But just design it like that thing that Shepard stands on in Mass Effect 2 to become a hologram to talk to the elusive man.
Yes,
you just stick it on there, and then like in the game, that figure will like show up. Talk to the elusive man. Yep.
That would be nice.
The elusive man loves Skylanders.
You are the elusive man.
I would play that also.
Yep.
But that's
it's
just
like, that's connect mode. You have to sit there, and then it puts you in there as the elusive man.
Sit there, fake smoke cigarettes. pretend to be voiced by Martin Sheen, and then...
I always pretend to be voiced by Martin Sheen.
As you
makes me feel more distinguished.
I imagine I'm voiced by Morgan Freeman, so.
No, Morgan Freeman just narrates your life. He's your koala.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, okay. You're voiced by Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, man.
I don't know who he is.
What?
You wouldn't. You're a koala.
Yeah, that's right. But trust me, that's who you're voiced by.
Okay. Anyway, it's only for Xbox 360 and PC, and only in the US.
So no PS3 version?
No PS3 version.
That's weird.
No PS3 codes.
It's randomized DLC for any figurine. It can be weapons or characters, and it's only in the US.
So it's basically just buy all of these if you want to have a chance to get all of the DLC type of thing.
Yes.
I'm assuming you could just buy the DLC off whatever. I'm assuming you don't have to buy these figures. I'm assuming this is just like, if you want these cool collectible figures and you also want a random code for a DLC, then here you go.
The way they're making it sound, though, is that the figures will actually come with this elusive DLC that you can only get with the figures.
Elusive DLC.
It sounds like it.
Elusive Man DLC?
Playable Elusive Man.
Again, going back to that, I would totally play that. I would buy a Kinect.
Wait for the Elusive Man action figure.
Does he come with his own mini pack of cigarettes?
That would be his DLC.
Yep. Great.
DLC for the Elusive Man DLC?
Yeah. Just, there you go.
We got it deeper.
Horse armor for the DLC. Or for the Elusive Man.
Oh, I'm just imagining the Elusive Man in horse armor. I don't know. What is going on with this podcast?
It got weird when the koala showed up.
Which was the beginning.
So it started weird. Oh,
all right.
The elusive koala.
Oh, gosh. All right. Let's go ahead and move on before we wrap up. Yesterday, we just posted our list of best Dreamcast games to play now. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about the Dreamcast for its... this is not an anniversary of any sort. We just wanted to talk about the Dreamcast, which is good enough reason. for me.
Yep.
Yep.
The Dreamcast was a system developed by Sega.
This is correct. Matt is not here.
Yeah, if Matt was here, we would all just mute our mics and just let him talk for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or maybe even an hour about the Dreamcast. I'm sure
he would do it. He's got three Dreamcasts, yeah.
He's going to turn one of them into the... He's going to turn one of the broken ones into a Game Boy Advance cart holder or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But no, anyway, I do love my Dreamcast. The system as a whole, though, the library is not nearly as deep as a lot of other systems. What's there holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
Because they're all, they're all basically late 90s arcade games.
And I'm okay with this.
Those are good, yeah.
I mean, if it's hard to say go out and buy it. I mean, unless you can find one for super cheap, which generally you can.
But you can find it for $30-$40, whatever. Yeah, pick up a Dreamcast.
I bought one for $7.25 from eBay, and almost brand new condition with three controllers.
That's a good deal.
There you go.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the great thing about doing this list is that most of these games you can get on other systems.
Yeah.
So even if you don't play the Dreamcast version,
right?
Unless the Dreamcast version is specifically awesome, which isn't the case in most of the games we picked, but you can find other versions of them, and that's just fine too.
Yeah, the Dreamcast version of Rez was pretty good.
Especially
if you had the VGA box for the Dreamcast.
But the Dreamcast version didn't have that vibrating thing. The transvibrator. That's it.
Well, you know, we never got it in the U.S., but I believe it did in Japan.
Yeah, that was for the PS2 version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I am not going down that road.
All right. If Matt were here, he would go down that road with me.
He would have been down there a while ago.
It would be the first thing you would have talked
about. Yes, Koala?
I have to say, since Matt is not here, he won't get mad at me. I don't think I could name 10 non-sports Dreamcast games.
I can't blame you.
Well, you know, again, the library is not that large.
Are there 10?
There are 10.
There are at least 10 games on the Dreamcast.
We picked 10 good ones for the list, but there were even some that didn't make the list that are pretty good. We didn't throw Grandia 2 on there.
I did not know that was a Dreamcast game.
Blitz 99 on there. Yeah.
Love it.
Didn't put Sonic Shuffle on there, but that's because it's hard.
We didn't put any Sonic game on this. It seems like it's just funny that every Sega list we've had, which is this one and Genesis. I don't know why I said it like that, but the two Sega lists we've had do not have Sonic games on them.
What? No Sonic Spinball? Did I forget?
Sonic Spinball for the Genesis.
Because their list are best games to play now.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
Curious.
I mean, the thing with Sonic games is, for Sega, the Sonic series was always their technical showpiece.
Yep.
You know, they put a lot into blast processing or
that
scaling.
That whale looked really cool in Sonic Adventure when you first saw it.
It did. Yeah. Great.
Best to go and watch now, the first level, someone playing the first level in Sonic Adventure, and that's it.
Yeah, I remember playing that at a kiosk, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. I don't really want to play it, but this is really cool. Yeah, but, you know, Sonic games aren't horrible. It's just that the ones that really stand the test of time are ones that aren't, like, that formula hasn't been run into the ground. The Sonic formula has been run into the ground by Sega and by other companies trying to copy it.
Pretty much.
But then you can go back to something like on our Dreamcast list, we had Armada on there.
And that is a game not many people have played.
Yeah, and I mean, there hasn't been another game really like it since.
There was going to be a sequel, but then it got canceled.
Yeah, and then there was this weird PC revival, but it's not.
What was that?
Armada Online, that some of the former developers bought the license and made an online game with it. Yeah,
So some of the former developers bought the license, so they would pretty much guarantee there would be nothing after Armada Online.
Yeah. Which I believe is still online after 7 years, but, you know.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, no.
I'll just play Armada 1 for the Dreamcast.
Which is a great game. It's like, weird.
I played it back when I first had a Dreamcast, and I thought, yeah, this is a pretty cool game. But then going back to it, I found a copy for super cheap.
Yeah.
I actually just finished it up a few months ago, and it's surprising how enjoyable it is. And it has multiplayer, and it's...
Yeah, four-player local, RPG elements, character classes.
Pretty much Graham's favorite Dreamcast game because of that.
Well, as I said in the list, I mean, it's basically... Somehow they took Gauntlet Legends and made it into an Asteroids game. I don't know how they did that, but they did that.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Basically, if you take Gauntlet Legends and make it into anything, then I'm all with it. It's my favorite thing.
Gauntlet Legends is your favorite everything? Anything?
No, but putting local four-player local and progression and character classes in a game, done.
And intelligent design developing it.
Intelligent design?
Working on it. Systems?
Yes.
Okay, I got them in working designs mixed up, I think.
It's okay, it's okay. We forgive you. You're a koala.
Any divine developers wanting to... Yes.
Oh, man, if intelligent design made a game, what would that game be?
Paper Mario.
Look for our new feature on Snapbar Games. Discuss this hot button topic.
Oh.
More games. The koala.
More games could use intelligent design, though.
True.
True.
So we talked about the best Dreamcast games to play now, but what is your favorite Dreamcast game ever?
Skies of Arcadia.
Skies of Arcadia is pretty good.
Did you both say Skies of Arcadia?
I said I haven't played one, but technically I played the GameCube port of Skies, so yeah.
That counts. That is the best version of that game. So
that's the version I played too. So
great.
I haven't played anything on Dreamcast.
That's definitely up there for me. I think that although it's not on our list, I think Shenmue is one of my favorites because when that came out, that was
right.
That was amazing.
No, that's a really cool game. It hasn't held up well.
No,
held up well at all.
Sequel is much better.
It is an interesting piece of.
It's interesting to go back to that and look and see, hey man, when this came out, there was nothing else like it. And then if you compare that to everything else that's on the market now, it's like, wow. Yeah.
It's definitely the forerunner to like GTA.
Yeah.
And
if you want to play Shenmue nowadays, you have the Yakuza series.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You've
the Yakuza series is damn good too. So.
Yep. It's definitely an acquired taste. I think we can agree.
Oh yeah,
is that not everyone's favorite game? But that's okay.
I think if I had a third choice, I'd say Soul Calibur, which is one of my favorite fighting games. Although Soul Calibur 2 kind of outclasses it.
See now, we did put Soul Calibur and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike on the list, but neither of those is my favorite Dreamcast fighter.
Power Stone.
I really don't consider that a fighting game.
Yeah.
It's an arena battle game that, you know what I'm saying?
It's an arena.
Or at least Power Stone 2 was more of an arena battle game.
Yeah, I get it.
The original Power Stone was one-on-one, and in that case, it really is kind of a face-off. But
yeah.
No, my favorite Dreamcast fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
That is a great version of that game, too.
Yeah.
Might be the best console version of that game.
You know, I haven't played the Xbox version, and that might hold up well.
Xbox version is fine, but I think most people who played a console version of that game probably played the Dreamcast version.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was
the updated downloadable version. I can't believe that didn't. Why didn't we even add that to the list? I'm just thinking about it now. I completely. Man, all right, too late now. Number 11, Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah, the only thing about that game is going back and then getting that song stuck in your head for another 11 years.
I'm okay with it, though. That's fine. That song can be stuck in my head as long as it wants.
Yep. It will take that space and not give it up.
But I think in terms of the Dreamcast games that hold up the best. I think the one shining example on our list, which is the one we just mentioned, was Skies of Arcadia, because that kind of that kind of is kind of a typical RPG from that era, but at the same time, it unlike stuff like Grandia 2 and like the Evolution games, which I completely forgot existed until you brought it up. But it still feels like a very different take on, I don't know, maybe not a Final Fantasy game, but on a JRPG. And it also kind of reminds me of like Suikoden in terms of like the airship battles. Kind of remind me of something that would be in Suikoden if there was a airship in Suikoden.
Yeah.
It's kind of an amalgamation of a lot of great series.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
No, I love that developer.
Are you sure you're not trying to say Suikoden?
Suikoden.
You said it like 4 times in 10 seconds.
it's a fun thing to say, too.
You can't count past 4 because you don't have that many fingers.
I'm also employed by Blizzard. That's another reason.
You're just a little koala. You're just there. You're just happy and holding onto a tree.
Koala like Skies of Arcadia, too.
Yes. Although I never finished it.
You should finish.
Just keep falling asleep.
You keep falling asleep, you wake up and you forget about it and then move on to the next thing. That's why I have so many unfinished games, because you're a koala.
I do have a lot of unfinished games.
It all makes sense now.
Oh, gosh. All right. I think we've... I think we're done. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. I'm not
sure
why. But, yep. All right. Andrew, take us out.
Oh, for Graham, Jerry, Koala, and myself.
I'm a koala.
I'm Andrew. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.